There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live at back at the Yellow Dragon Turtle podcast. This is your host, Igor, and as always with me is my co-host, Niksha. Say hi, Niksha.
I say hi.
Yay. What up, Niksha? You doing good?
Yeah. Got a runny nose. Don't know if it's allergies or I'm catching a cold or both, but it's probably not.
Niksha, strive for greatness. Take both.
Of course.
So, how has your week been?
It was okay. Played some magic, well, that's it. That was about it for my week.
What kind of magics did you play?
I played some standard, modern, and commander. So I played all the formats of magic.
Any experiences you want to share?
I actually made a semi-decent standard deck based around Bent and having Tolsmir in it. Which I copied with Spark Double. Yeah, getting more Toll Smears is kind of fun, but the not so fun part is that the wolf is legendary and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep, you can't Spark Double it or anything to do a proper thing.
But then again, you get a wolf and it fights twice.
If it survives the combats.
If it survives the first one. And for modern, I'd rather not comment on it. And
that
for,
good?
Yeah?
That good or?
Yeah, was that good. And for Commander, I did some CSA action and punted like a champ.
What were all the punts?
Well, for instance, tutoring an Elesh Norn while I have 6 mana open and not 7, because counting is very hard.
Numbers are difficult.
And just searching for the wrong things.
I mean, I had similar experiences yesterday when we were playing Commander at my place. Basically, I had all the stacks pieces I needed to slow everybody down, and then I could get to zero win conditions. So I might reconsider how I play my Alesha, or how I build my Alesha, I'm not sure. Because the game is yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I slowed everybody around for a bunch of turns, and then I did jack shit. Like, I had both Cursed Totem, and Stony Silence, and something else. And yet I'm doing nothing.
Well, that's because that's purely the nature of such decks. Sometimes you get all the stack pieces, but since you got all the stack pieces, well, you know, you kind of don't have anything else. And if you don't have any natural way of drawing cards, it can get into a kind of a problem.
I mean, I need to get more tutors, I guess, to actually, you know, get
somewhere. Or maybe you can play less stack.
That's the thing, I'm not sure which stack pieces to cut. I mean, you're being a bit greedy now, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. I mean, I need to add a bit more stacks pieces, which is the sad part. I need to add some, like, Spirit of the Labyrinth.
Maybe you need to add more stack pieces that... I really don't know how to put it, but instead of, let's say... Instead of Cursed Totem, I would suggest Linvala, but I don't know if that would be an upgrade or a downgrade.
I play both of them, that's the thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I play both of them. But I need something to stop a bit more drawing, because you saw yesterday we were playing, I think you were out of that game, what Ubamask did to 2 combo decks.
Well, yeah, Ubamask is a pretty good card, apparently.
Yes, but I need more of those type of effects, just to slow everybody's draw down, because I'm not drawing that many cards, so nobody else should. This might sound a bit pricky and all that, but this is generally how a stacks person needs to think. What are my weaknesses? I mean, I need to make everybody else has the same weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I have to ponder and maybe get more cards and things like that. But that's a thought for some other day. Do we have any announcements or anything, or we just go to the topic straight up?
Well, no, not really. No announcements to make. And we can go straight to the topic, because we might be here for a while. Not like last time, but still.
Gee, if I would be here for a long time, it's not like we have a bunch of spoilers to go through. Oh no, my god.
Well, it was mostly just dump, so...
Yeah, but there's surprisingly good stuff in the dump.
So, starting off, we were wrong. I mean, I was wrong by saying, oh yeah, they're not going to put another sword.
So, what's the sword?
So, like an hour after I said that, they put in a sword.
I think they heard us recording, and they were like, you know what, you motherfuckers, we're printing this just to fuck with you guys. So, read the sword.
So, it's sword of sinew and steel. It's the typical sword, you know, +2/+2, equip 2, cost 2. It gives protection from black and from red, and whenever equipped, creature deals combat damage to a player, destroy up to one target planeswalker and up to one target artifact.
You were surprisingly not impressed by this sword when it got spoiled.
Well, no, not really.
Ignore the planeswalker part. Mostly destroying people's artifacts is a thing I actually like. I like it way more than the Sword of Truth and Justice.
I'm just looking at it through... through Commander and through Modern, because, by the way, it is Modern Horizons, apparently.
Wait, it's Commander Horizons and we all know it.
It just turns out that some Commander cards are really good Modern cards. So, for Modern, it's just a way for you to deal damage while doing something you would be doing instead of dealing damage. So, you instead of hitting face, you hit the Planeswalker. But like this, you don't have to hit the Planeswalker, just hit face.
Mostly for Modern purposes, you're not going to be playing it in Modern, you're going to be playing it in Cube.
Yeah, in Cube.
Lesbian.
Yeah, in Cube, it's okay. I mean,
it depending on the Cube in question. Vintage Cube, you might actually wreck a lot of things.
It has two abilities that for quite a bit of time, they can be just complete duds.
Mm-hmm. What it makes up with situational abilities is the protections. Because having protection for both black and red is actually useful in the format.
Pretty useful in every format, because mm-hmm. black and red are really good removal.
That's my point. I mean, just dodging all the Doomblades, dismembers, and whatever the red spell of your choice is.
Which members?
Those members. All the members. But yeah, putting this on your valuable creature and then casting something like Blasphemous Act.
Yeah.
Pretty these. And in Commander, you most often gonna have the targets for the destroy target artifact.
And of course, there's going to be that one super friend player who's gonna be like, I hate you and everything you represent.
Well, just use a black kill spell to kill my guy. Oh, wait. Also, one good thing about this art looks much better than Sword of Truth and Justice. This looks bitching.
Pretty much.
And Sword of Truth and Justice looks like this is my first Paladin OC character. Moving on to May 26th or 27th.
We got a Storm card, which a mechanic that was apparently rank 10 on the Storm scale.
You mean the Storm scale was named after the mechanic?
Yeah, sure. So Weather the Storm, what is it?
So for one and a green, you gain 3 life. Storm. Instant. This is the best meme card you can throw into Storm player's face.
Yeah.
Unless they're throwing a brain freeze at your face, which most likely they're not. Just imagine a player goes through all the hoops to tenders the agony you for like 10 copies, 20 copies. In response, what did the Storm?
So that's why they put Flusterstorm in the set, so Storm players can counter Storm. Wow, okay.
One fun thing on MTGO, speaking of Storm, you know what's a bitch to resolve? Somebody casts the Flusterstorm, you Flusterstorm in return. You need to actually click all the proper triggers.
Mm-hmm.
That's painful. Mm-hmm. But this card is... I think they put it mostly as, you wanted a new Storm card? Here you go.
You want Storm in the set? Okay, sure.
No problem. Here.
But why they put Storm and they don't put in Transfigure, but... Or Transmute.
Transmute, I would love to get more effects of those. But, yeah.
It's kind of a good mechanic.
Want to talk about an actually good card?
Yeah.
Read us the Oof.
So, Collector Oof is one and a green for a 2/2 creature Oof. And activated abilities of artifacts can't be activated.
But please read the flavor text.
He steals power from treasure after treasure, and what does it do for the Oof? Nothing.
Joyra witnesses a stacks player. She's like, this is bullshit. This is a good card, I hear.
Yeah, it's both better and worse than Stony Silence, because it can be killed easier, but it can also be tutored easier.
And it can be brought back from the set that's...
Yep.
I mean, if you're going to be playing Hate Bears or Stacks deck, this is a good piece to go with.
And in Commander, well, of course, it's a stack piece, so...
Plus, you can play it in your Oof Tribal deck, I guess.
Yeah, so yeah, when this card hitting the board is a big Oof.
Womp, womp. But yeah, this is just pretty solid good card. Plus, this is a stacks piece that hits people in the face. Mm-hmm. And can wear the Sword of Sinew and Steel, I guess. This is a double spite build, by the way, putting a Sword of Sinew and Steel on the Oof and killing an artifact, just because you can't play with it, and I was just gonna kill it now. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's like playing a new Karn, while your opponent has Darksteel Citadel, and you still kill the Darksteel Citadel because... there. Sending a message.
There you go. Speaking of artifacts, Niksha, do we have a good cycle on our hands?
We definitely did get a good cycle.
Commander players have been begging for this cycle, so it's Talisman. We have Creativity, Curiosity, Hierarchy, Resilience, and Conviction. AKA Izzet 1, Simic 1, Orja 1, Golgari 1, and the Boros 1.
The 5 we were missing.
These are all good, but I just have one thing that I actually mind. Stupid Planeswalker text. I like the Creativity 1 flavor text. Can you read us that one?
Good ideas don't take time. They take a lot of bad ideas first.
But... well, Zarek gets it. See?
I mean, is that like that one quote? How does it go? Like, a good idea isn't just made. You first have to make 100 bad ideas.
Yeah, basically. And I actually agree with that. I personally...
wasn't that from like, Franklin?
I don't know. But yeah, Talismans are really good artifacts. You should be playing those. And now we have even more options to play it with. Mm. Plus, Boros finally got a bit more better ramp.
Pretty deep, yeah.
Yeah, because the green ones weren't actually needed that much. But is it the Orzhov and Boros one, they were sorely needed.
We have a really cool Sliver. And Spiteful Sliver for 2 and a red. It's a 2-2 Sliver. When Sliver creatures you control have, whenever this creature is dealt damage, it deals that much damage to target player or planeswalker.
This one is a kill on sight, right?
This one's a kill on sight because somebody's going to be like, okay, I play a Spiteful Sliver, and then he's going to be like, there are 8 creatures on the board. Let's deal 13 damage to everything. Oh, look, you're all dead, by the way.
Somebody's going to do that, right?
Definitely. Somebody is going to play mass removal just because they can do this.
But Niksha, do indestructible creatures actually get damage?
Yeah.
Get dealt damage.
Indestructible creatures take all the damage, they just don't care.
Imagine if there was a sliver that gives, you know, all slivers indestructibility. And then you play the Blessing Effect.
What if you imagine not even having to use Blessing Effect? Imagine a sliver that says that your slivers take damage, like a psionic sliver.
Niksha, I think this whole thing is bullshit. What do you think?
It is. And I love it.
I always hated slivers, because to me they were cheap. You want to build a sliver deck? Well, just put slivers in. I've seen many stupid sliver players to my days of playing Magic. Mostly it's that.
It's like building a scarecrow deck. You don't just put in every scarecrow in. You put the good ones in.
With the slivers, it's the opposite. You just mash stupid slivers in, they're gonna work. Because with scarecrows, you have way worse selection of cards you can play. You have 13 picks in limited most often. But slivers are just like, yeah, you know, Boros, what is the name of the rhino? Not the rhino, the minotaur in Boros that takes damage.
Reckoner.
Why not put Boros Reckoner, but make it every creature you have? Why not?
So yeah. That was that's a nice sliver support, and of course giving them another way to end.
Let's talk about an actual OG, Yawmut, the Triumph Physician, for 2 and a black. It's a 2/4. Sadly, it's not a 2/2, but you know what you're gonna do. Legendary Human Cleric, protection for humans. Pay 1 life, sacrifice another creature. Put a -1/-1 counter on up to 1 target creature and draw a card. Black, discard a card. Proliferate.
Oh, it's up to 1.
Yep.
Huh.
This makes the card a bit better? Or?
Yeah, this actually makes it a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a free sac outlet.
Yep, I mean, as long as your life can take it.
Of course it is.
A thing I like about this card is that it actually enables Infect. Because get it, it's Yawmut, Phyrexia, Infect.
Yeah, cool and story.
And we did actually... You actually called Dr. Yawmut entering the scene.
I was imagining him as like a village doctor, but yeah, this is a bit more than a village doctor, but still a doctor.
This is him on height of his human power, I guess. Plus, I like the nonchalant touch with protection from humans.
Yeah, so he can't actually experiment on himself.
Yeah, plus, it's Yawgmoth, you know he fucking hates humans.
And yet he can't do anything to... No, he has... Okay, never mind. Brain
I mean, if you resolve this on, you know, against humans and have plenty of creatures to actually sacrifice, you can wreck a human's deck. Of
you
course, it's 4 mana.
Hapatra.
Yeah, but it's 4 mana, so you're most likely gonna die. By the
also,
time he comes.
It's a -1/-1 counter, so you can reset your undying guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Jowl's man.
Plus, he can enable reanimation strategies to hold discarding and proliferating.
And super friend strategy.
Yeah, he does actually a lot.
He does quite a lot, but his greatest weakness is being mono black and not being such a powerful commander, but an amazing part in the line.
Even if you play it as your commander, what are your opponents going to think you're playing?
Well, if like it was me, I would just think that, okay, he has a Yavgmoth's will in his command zone. I mean, Yavgmoth's bargain.
Yeah. Yep. But this is really open-ended commander. I like that about the card. Because mm-hmm. Urza is a bit solved guy, and you know what he's gonna do. You're not gonna be like, oh, maybe he's playing enchantments. With Yawgmoth, you're actually like, okay, he could be doing like this, 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 or this.
A very cool build around card, mm-hmm. yeah.
And you see the small Phyrexis symbol he has, I love that on the art. What's next?
Segovian Angel is super cute.
Wait. No. You went over a card we should read. The String of Disappearances.
Why?
It's a nod to Chain Lightning and Chain of Vapor and all things. Plus, it's not a bad card. I mean, CDH people are hyped about it, and it's actually not bad. For one blue, instant return target creature to its owner's hand. Then that creature's controller may pay blue-blue. If the player does, they may copy this spell and you may choose a new target. They may choose a new target for that copy.
It's a lot harder to chain with a Chain of Vapor.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, that's fine.
You're not gonna get Chain of Vapor in Modern. You're just not.
You could do a lot of things.
It's also Seb McKinnon is... this is the first card where we suck Seb's probably penis. And that's gonna happen a couple more times. Just to let you know. Eldrami's Call is becoming Modern legal.
That's definitely cool. Because just another... A really efficient for Modern, and that's quite potent.
And there's gonna be even more copies of that on the market, so you can get it even cheaper. And you were gonna talk about the Angel?
I mean, it's just adorable. It's a 1-white for a 1/1 flying Minisera Angel.
But why is it a Minisera Angel, Niksha?
Because it comes from the plane of...
Segovia.
Segovia. So the flavor text goes when Vorzel summoned Segovian Angels to fight Tawnil's Garganticary Gnats, the ensuing battle numbered among the multiverse's least destructive.
The thing is, Segovia is the plane we saw on the plane chase card. Mm-hmm. The lower creatures get -6/-0, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a super small plane.
Everything is super tiny.
I showed the card to Tess, she was like, what's the thing? I explained, you see this ashtray, yeah? Basically, the plane they fought is that size. She's like, oh my god, that's cute.
Maybe a sign will be going there sometime.
I really hope.
That would be super interesting to see what they're going to do with them.
I don't think they're going to go there just because of that. It's a real difficult thing
maybe
to
they'll make a Maybe they'll make a set where they actually go to two planes. And Segovia is like, there. Segovia's there, and another plane. Maybe a plane where everything's super big.
Well, that would be cool, actually.
Then we... Multi-planar interaction.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I mean, we have planar bridges and all that, so... I mean, not anymore, I guess?
We still do.
Cass is in the set.
So, yeah. Legacy players rejoice, because now you're not gonna get disqualified for having
Yay! Casses. Isn't that nice? Not getting DQ'd because of stupid fling process.
Not having to use Proxy Mountain for your Cass.
Thanks. You have a card you want to talk about?
So when I thought that they're not gonna put any more ninjas because it's a throwaway mechanic, they decide to put in Ingenious Infiltrator, which is a 2 and blue black for a 2/3 Vedalken ninja.
Because it can't be human.
With ninjutsu for black and blue, whenever a ninja you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card.
Before you actually start saying anything about the card, we did talk last time about how wizards actually fucking love ninjutsu. Because yeah, they liked it as a mechanic, but it's really difficult to put it in a standard set. However, in Commander Horizons, I mean Modern Horizons, I apologize, they can just throw that thing willy-nilly.
Yeah, it's really hard to put it in any set because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, they can't really just name it anything different. I mean, they did with Yuriko, naming it Commander Ninja.
It's basically. But yeah, what do you think about this card?
I like the part where it says whenever a ninja you control instead of just when it deals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit better than just Walker, the other ninja.
Ninja of Deep Powers.
Ninja of Deep Powers, yeah.
Why do I know more ninjas than you do? What the hell, Nick?
Because I'm concentrating on my nose.
Oh, okay, right in that now. Case. I apologize. Anywho.
Yeah, with each ninja spoiled like this, there's a higher chance being more playable in.
What about Commander?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you're the person who bloody plays ninjas. You should be happy.
Yeah, it's cool. It's just that ninjas are still, you know, they're kind of hard to attack with them after the first time they...
I mean, yeah. If only you had a bit more, you know, support so you could attack willingly. Oh, well, I guess we won't be seeing it in this set.
Anyhow.
You wanted to talk about Chaos Guile, right?
Yeah, because I find it really, really interesting.
A Chaos Command?
It's basically Chaos Command, yeah. So, Chaos Guile is one white and a black for an instant. Choose two. Each opponent sacrifices a creature, or exile all cards from each opponent's graveyard. Create a 1/1 white and black spirit creature token with flying. You gain 4 life. And it has Entwine 3. Choose all if you pay the Entwine cost.
Would you, Niksha, even pay the Entwine?
Most of the time you don't have to.
Yeah, that's the point.
But just being able to pay it makes this card stand out even more.
It's flexible. I won't be playing it because I find it rather weak. I like the synergy of the first and second ability, though.
Yeah, they first sacrifice it and then exile it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually, I think it's a lot better than you think, because it's another grave hate that actually does something useful than just hating the grave.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time you're going to be using it for the first and second ability.
Yeah, maybe a surprise blocker comes in handy.
Yeah, and if you're playing against Burn, I guess. Sure, I gave one.
And for Modern, it's actually really good. Like, every part of the card is really nice.
This is a card that was actually, yeah, we need to have Modern in mind.
So yeah, I guess Abzan got just a bit...
Yay?
Maybe Death Axis? Question mark?
It's definitely questionable.
I mean, I'd try it. It's a command, after all.
You would try so many things.
With, you know, actually each and every part of the command being playable at any point in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which other command has 4 parts that are playable in any part of the game?
Cryptic?
I'm not... Cryptic is not part of...
Aha, I thought you meant, you know...
I mean yeah, it's a command, but I'm thinking about the multicolored command.
Colagons.
Exactly.
Colagons is stupidly good.
And yet not played that much.
Which is surprising to me, honestly. But then again, I don't think it combats the things that are currently wrecking Modern that well. So makes actual sense.
It's like, instant speed, you discard a card. Okay, discard a Phoenix. Oh.
Yeah. Right. You deal 2 damage to Phoenix, I'll just get it back. Sure, fine. Good for you.
So, yeah. Anything else from this day?
Not really, no. It's just like, eh. Day after that, we have some rhinos.
Have some chili artifacts.
So, Crashing, it has no mana cost, it's a sorcery. You create 2/4/4 rhino creatures with trample. And it has a spend of 4 and a green. 4 turns, but you know, 1 green mana you pay up front. Not a good thing to pay if you're gonna just wait for 4 turns to get your 2/4/4s. But if you can pay, let's say, a red and a red, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Instant speed, of course.
Yeah. Instant speed. Having 2/4/4s in like turn 2 or 3 is not bad in Modern. It's pretty decent.
Yeah. Also, you know, being able to cast 3 of them on turn 3 is also...
Yeah, I hear that, I think.
Oh no, it's once per turn. Oh, never mind. Yeah.
But this is not Commander playable, right?
No. You just get to 4-4. They don't even have haste.
Yep. I mean, it's green. Their green really gets haste.
Land cards have.
I mean, this sorcery gets haste.
Yeah. Okay, fair point.
The sorcery does get haste, but everything else. what's next?
We have a chilly one. It's Arkham's Astrolabe. For one snow mana, it's a snow artifact. When Arkham's Astrolabe enters the battlefield, draw a card, and you can pay one and tap to add one mana of any color. So it's a mana filter.
Mm-hmm.
For just one mana that already draws a card.
Yeah.
That's kind of good.
You just need to have, you know, investment of actual snow.
So yeah, if you're playing a bunch of basic in a multicolor deck, this is definitely a viable card.
If you have Boreal Druid, this is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Boreal Druid is a good card.
So yeah, by default, this is a good card.
Mm-hmm.
We also have this Icehide Golem. For a snow mana, it's a 2-2 snow artifact creature golem.
Try playing it in a deck, I guess. You're not gonna.
I mean, if you're maybe if you're playing Burn on a budget.
Scred? Although Scred is doing much better things with its mana than...
Scred doesn't attack, actually. So, yeah, playing a 2-2 is not good in Scred.
That's a lie, you attack with your mountain.
Okay, fair enough. But, like, if you're not... if you can't get your Goblin Guides,
mm-hmm.
and somehow you don't know about a Gitu Lava Monster existing...
Or, you know, Monastery Swift Spirit, or anything of those cards.
No, I mean, you play Monster Swift Spear always because it's actually L cheaper right now.
I hear it's a good card, though.
Yeah. And Gitu Lava Monster, I don't know. You're worried that you're not gonna activate it turn 2? Eh? I guess. With your 1 mana 2-2 beat stick.
You know what I like? You're on budget, and you have all the snow mountains you need, but you're on a budget.
Maybe you've collected magic during Cold Snap when they were worthless.
Oh, no, you know what's the scenario? You were playing during Cold Snap, and that made you quit.
Yeah, and now you're back and you're like, I've got all these snowlands. Suddenly, they're used.
Hey, wow. That's a good scenario, though. Nether Spirit is a card. So at the beginning, at Nether Spirit, one black, it's spirit that's a 2-2. At the beginning of your upkeep, if Nether Spirit is the only creature card in your graveyard, you may return Nether Spirit to the battlefield. Oldie but goodie.
Mm-hmm. Playing just a single copy in your...
Hey. Couldn't you play this in something like 8-track?
You definitely play this in 8-track.
Like legit?
Yeah, completely legitly.
Yeah.
This is a perfect one for 8-track.
Yep. You do need a way to finish the game somehow.
You have some lands that can finish the game. You have Nether Spirit that can finish.
Mm-hmm.
And
this makes actually sideboarding against Aatrox a bit more difficult because they do have creatures with this, you know. So you can't actually sideboard all your spot removal for creatures just like that.
I mean, even if you have spot removal, you're not going to start wasting a Nether Spirit because you're wasting removal.
I know, but still, you might have to. Desperation is a thing. You know what's nice?
Mm-hmm?
Sorry to interrupt. We, just like this set, cannot actually make up our minds, are we a Commander or Modern podcast this time?
We'll be leaning a bit more to Modern this time.
Because of the nature of
the set? Because it's just fun.
Okay, let's go with that. Rioter is fine?
Rioter is fine. Yeah, he's actually kind of fine.
What does he do?
A green and a red for a 2-2, Human Berserker, when it dies, you may have a deal damage to any target equal to the number of land cards in your graveyard. And, you know, Dredges.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Borborygmus is a thing for Commander.
Borborygmus is a thing in Commander?
Imagine if this guy was playable in Frog.
That would be nice.
And imagine if it didn't say die, but said ETB.
That would be broken.
I think they balanced the card around that.
They were thinking about that, yeah.
Because first time I thought it said ETB, and I was like, to any target? Oh, it's dies. Okay, makes sense. Because if it's a dies trigger, you can actually let it hit person in the face. It's okay.
Yeah, they need to do a lot of... You have to do a lot of hoops, the jumping through them, to actually use it more than once per turn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which can be done, but at that point, wizards are like, yeah, you're jumping through.
And, you know, you need to have, like,
20 land graveyard to actually one-shot people, and, you know, since decks play from 20 to 24 lands, that's kind of hard.
Yeah. Next card? Oh, it's your card.
So we got a ninja. We got actually a lot of ninja. So it's Mist Syndicate Naga. It's a 2 and a blue for a 3/1 Naga ninja. So 3 damage, that's just fine. With ninjutsu for 2 and a blue, so no discounts there. But when it deals combat damage to a player, create a token that's a copy of Mist Syndicate Naga.
So this gets us a couple things. First of all, he triggers Sig, doesn't he?
He triggers Sig.
What else does he do?
He's unblockable with Tetsuko.
That's kind of nice, I hear. And he makes more copies of himself that can make more copies of themselves than, you know, ad nauseum.
Yeah. Oh, just put in a Blade of Selves for even more copies of selves.
Oh god, Nikshala.
except yeah. That... Oh, wait. Does Blade of Selves give bonus power or toughness?
No.
Okay,
nothing.
Still unblockable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a good role player for ninja decks.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Like, legit. Future Sight is in Modern, finally.
Mm-hmm.
In actual enchantment form, not in...
I don't think it will be doing anything, but...
Oh, no. If the creature wasn't... I doubt that anybody is going to be playing this. It's 5 mana. It's triple blue. Crypto Command is also triple blue, but Crypto Command does Crypto Command stuff.
Yeah, well, Future Sight does nothing.
I mean, it's basically a bit different Experiment Frenzy.
It's a good Experimental Frenzy,
mm-hmm.
But it's 5 mana.
Yeah, and triple blue. But wanna talk about a card that does nothing and everything?
Yeah.
So, Throes of Chaos, for 3 and a red. It's sorcery. It gets just 2 lines of text, basically, a rule text. Cascade, retrace.
Yep.
I mean, what does it do? Yeah. This is
definitely
a good card because all those dead draws of lands you draw, no longer dead.
And what are they gonna be? Oh, nobody knows.
Yeah, but if you put, you know, if this is the top of your curve, good. It can be any good thing you want. And if it's not, we'll just chuck it on a land, I guess.
It's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening in the art, though. I actually decipher it.
I think it's better.
I read some furry fanfics. It must be one of those things, sure. But this is a super interesting card. Like, yeah, it's a thing. Imagine if you hit somebody with double strike and what's the guy that gives cascade to spells?
Cedric.
Idris.
Idris.
Imagine if you double strike with Idris and then cast this card.
And then it casts again.
Cascade. That's a fun card.
Yep.
I love this card. We have end of a cycle.
It's Endling.
End of a cycle. Endling. What does it do?
It's 2 and a black for a 3/3 creature zombie shapeshifter. For a black, it can gain either menace until end of turn, death touch until undying it, or for one generic, it gets +1/-1 or +1/+1 until.
The last ability is a standard mold ability, but this is an interesting card.
I mean, it's...
Things that morphings usually do. It gets one evasion ability, it gets one protection ability, and rest and +1/-1 and vice versa, and the third ability is just, you know,
something.
Depending on the color. Depending on the color specific thing.
Yeah. Well, Endling is a completion of the cycle, except, you know, Thornling not being having the correct art.
But sure, let's go with that.
I'm sure Wizards did that intentionally, so it can be a thorn in the eye. So yeah, I don't think that Endling does actually enough to...
Does any Morphling variant do anything in Modern?
Well, Brightling, if it were Modern legal, it would definitely do, but...
Yeah, but it's not. I always loved Aetherling.
Aetherling did a lot of stuff back in Standard.
Holy cow, this was good. My friend actually plays it in his deck. He plays it a bit controlling, and it can actually end games surprisingly fast.
I mean, this one has the cool combination of Menace and Death Touch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an Undying, so you can kill two guys, get back.
Undying is good.
But that's like 3 black mana you're investing.
You could be playing Necropod.
For instance.
You could also be playing for 3 black mana. The Dead of Winter. Since Wizards were like, you know what, guys, Toxic Deluge is strong of a card, we'll give you this. 2 and a black, sorcery. All non-slow creatures get minus X, minus X, until the end of turn, X is the number of snow permanents you control. and we have Super Dark Souls Essene on the art. And this is the closest I think we'll get to Toxic Deluge in a while in Modern.
And it's actually a card that I'm going to get a couple of them, because it's a card that makes me want to play Snow Soul Tie. I mean, definitely. Maybe even, you know, play a Scred Red with a splash of black.
Oh yeah, you could do that.
I mean, you have a good sport removal and now you have a good board clear.
Yeah. Plus, if you're heavy enough in the snow team, this does nothing to your guys.
Mm-hmm. And it bypasses indestructibility, which is a big plus.
One good thing is, you cast this, your Boreal Druid actually stays safe. Because you want you want your rats to not kill your mana dorks. This is a cool card. Plus, if you have enough in the snow team but don't have any snow creatures, you still kill everything. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a 3-mana wrath is still a 3-mana wrath.
Which doesn't actually suck the life out of you. Unearth is finally modern. It might do things.
Well, if Claim to Fame didn't really do anything, then Unearth will suffer the similar fate, but Unearth has a bit of an upside over Claim to Fame, and that is that it actually has cycling.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna mention that. Plus, Unearth is...
It's
a classic. It's a classic.
I mean, why not play 12 Death Shadows? Why not?
I mean, sure. That sounds actually like a video that Seth might make.
Or 12 Vexing Devils.
Oh my. Oh my. Actually, Magic Aids might do that video.
Yeah, probably.
We should actually send him that request.
So 12 Vexing Devils with Pelt Collector, because they can be unearthed as well.
Oh god. Actually, this seems like a deck I might want to play in Modern. Hey, it's not actually that expensive, I think, just looking all the jank I have to play. You play Unearthed, Claim to Fame, Pelt Collectors, and stupid Vexing Devils. Vexing Devils being the most cost of them all. But still, you play mostly... you need, I guess, 4 Blood Crypts and something else, and that's it.
Yeah.
An actual card is on Thin Ice, speaking of Snow sub-team. One white Snow Enchantment Aura. Enchant Snowland you control. When on Thin Ice enters the battlefield, exile target creature and opponent controls until on Thin Ice leaves the battlefield. It's Chain on the Rocks, right? But not for mountains, but for snowlands.
So you can actually play it in mono white.
Mm-hmm. This is a cool removal card.
It is. With no land destruction, it's a better... almost a better path to exile.
Like anybody runs... what's the name of the 2-mana destroy?
Yeah. I mean, it can't actually target basic lands. But Ghost Quarter can.
Ghost Quarter super can, and it will.
But Ghost Quarter is not being played because of the Ixalan one.
I can't remember the name, and it's bothering me.
Neither.
Anywho, let's carry on. We have our second legendary creature of the cast. Mm-hmm. Next show, what is
it? So it's a Pashalik Mons, 2 and a red for a legendary Goblin Warrior. Whenever Pashalik Mons or another Goblin you control dies, Pashalik Mons deals 1 damage to any target. You can pay 3 and a red, sacrifice a Goblin, and get 2 1-1 red Goblins.
With no haste.
I don't know where I saw haste.
It's a Goblin, so you expect it. First of all, this is the same Mons of the Mons Goblin Raiders, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Back from the Alpha. So this is the guy who actually led them. What do you think of the effect, though?
Well, it's like Judith, the Scourge Diva, only, you know, affecting only goblins, but affects tokens as well.
Yep.
So it's actually a pretty good, it's super sweet with Goblin Bombardment and Goblin Shenanigans.
Yep.
So you've got some shenanigans there.
It's really good with Krenko. It's another outlet for Krenko to win.
And it has a really decent ability of just making more goblins.
I'm actually hoping Philip rebuilds his goblins and plays against us. We'll put these cards in, by the way. Well, I would love to see that.
With mana echoes, it's actually infinite. It goes infinite. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I actually wouldn't be surprised if that stupid Krenko actually managed to hold his own against the CDH decks. No. But I was referring to his deck being... It actually might, because it's fighting on the axis we're not used to anymore.
What? By reusing creatures?
Yeah. But infinitely using creatures, not in a way that we usually do with Kikijiki and Felder Guardian. He doesn't have to go into the red zone. Especially with this guy. But I want to talk about lazy design.
And yet the best design?
First of all, let's talk about the art. It looks like they're dropping the sickest gangster rap album of 2019.
Again?
Straight out of Llanowar. Llanowar tribe for green, green, green. It's a 3-3 creature. Elf druid. Tap, add, green, green, green. The laziest. You have like 5 minutes left of work to do, but you have to do mana dork. Fine, I'll staple 3 Llanowar elves top of one another. Fine, it'll be good.
So why is it called Llanowar tribe and not Llanowar elves?
I'm not sure.
Because it consists of 3 previous arts of Llanowar elves?
Plus, Llanowar elves is already the name of a card, so actually.
You know. I mean, Llanowar elf is of a card.
No, elves. It's elves.
Oh, there is a card called Llanowar elves?
The one you think about, that's Llanowar elves. And the problem with that card was, as always, you just saw one elf, except for that 1/7th edition art.
Oh, I thought it was Llanowar elf.
No.
It's actually elves.
Yes. That's why actually Elvish Mystic was made a card, because they were like, it's weird that it says elves, but it's not representing actual multiple elves. So that's why this is a Llanowar tribe, not Llanowar elf. Lazy design, I'm still going to be playing it in something like Ruriktar. This one doesn't die to Pyroclasm, that's good. So, all in all, cool card. Lazy design, but a cool card. What's next?
Tribute Mage.
Holy cow, that's a card. What does it do next?
So, for a 2 and a blue, it's a 2/2 human wizard as mage. When Tribute Mage enters the battlefield, you may search your library for an artifact card with converted mana cost 2, reveal that card, put it in your hand, then shuffle your library.
So, Niksha, what are some of the cards you can get with this?
Like Winter Orb?
You can get Winter Orb, you can get Talismans, Spellstone.
You can get... isn't Cursed Totem too?
Oh, it definitely is.
Static
you can
Orb
get that.
Is 3, right?
Yes, it's... Yes, 3. You can get something like Signets, Alter Dementia.
Torpor Orb.
Plenty of things that are actually costing 2 mana and they're artifacts. And plenty of them are actually good.
And of course you can get Sword of the Meek and the Topter Foundry.
Yes. Tidehouse Color is an artifact, isn't it? Like, this actually feels so many things. This is a bit better than the Trophy Mage. It's a Trophy Mage, right? But again, Trophy Mage does get Tanglewires.
Tanglewires, swords.
Yep.
They both have their use, mm-hmm. and they're both playable.
Oh, Niksha, this gets the Phyrexian Invoker. That's cool. Pretty decent.
So, Carrion Feeder got a reprint in Modern.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, because Aristocrats.
Yes.
And then, speaking of Aristocrats, we
This is more of a speaking of Empire Tribal.
Yeah, but...
I know a certain Mardu Vampire that's going to be liking this guy. So, Cordial Vampire for black, it's 1/1, it's a vampire. So it's already a cheap vampire that you can play in Markov, so that's cool. Whenever Cordial Vampire or another creature dies, and it doesn't have to be your creature, by the way, put a +1/+1 counter on each vampire you control. Like, sheesh. Stupid sexy vampire killing my stuff and making it a bit bigger.
What is it with the shirtless vampires putting +1/+1 counters on vampire?
Power of sex appeal gives everybody else strength.
Okay.
Easy. But this is a stupidly strong vampire for vampire tribal decks.
For Markov, it's extremely strong because it doesn't say non-token.
Mm-hmm.
So you can like sack a couple of your tokens to make everything else so much bigger.
I mean, you Doomblade one guy. Your dudes are super strong.
And it's just 2 black mana, which is super competitive.
God bloody forbid if somebody goes into combat with somebody else and they trade a couple of creatures.
Not good.
Like, honestly, what do you do then?
Even Markov has first strike, so it's going to pump your vampires before it actually dealing damage.
So does Kali. What's the name? From Battle for Zendikar.
Mm-hmm. You know, Kalia.
It's not Kali.
No, Kali is of the vast.
Yes, Kali is of the vast. But her, the chick with first strike.
Yeah, that also pumps your team.
Yep. So you attack with Markov and her first, and everybody else, of course. How do you block? You could, you know, kill her if you have a big enough dude, but that's gonna give everybody else counters. You could also, you know, let her pass. That's gonna also get everybody else counters.
I mean, she gives counters when she deals combat. Then.
But that's the point. But if you can block her, you know. No, she needs to deal combat damage to a player.
So, what the correct way to deal with them is block in response bounce.
Correct answer is just Cyclonic Rift them turn after turn.
Yeah, okay. Or crypt the command and tap them.
But if you can cycle one crypt and turn after turn after turn, I think you're in a good place. You don't care about stupid vampires being sexy. Mm. You know what makes me sad? They're using this shittier art for Tranquil Thicket.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful art, let's be serious, but I really like the old one.
I mean, they're using the new art for every part of the cycle.
Are they? Because isn't Forgotten Cave an old, the old art?
I don't.
I think the thing is they have rights for this, but they have rights for the other one. No, it's not. I was wrong. But yeah, Tranquil Thicket looks much nicer. I am a bit biased because that was one of the first cards I actually got when I got into Magic. And I remember the old art and everything.
Oh yeah, by the way, the cycling lands are in Modern.
So that's the thing?
Yeah, for the Astral Drift.
Yay! Next card to talk... Oh yeah, Hall of Helios Generosity. Before you actually take anything from the Hall of Helios Generosity, remember, he's a dick. He's an actual, honest to fucking god, him being the god in question, dick. So it's Legendary Land, it taps colorless, but one and a white and tap, put target enchantment card from your graveyard on top of your library. Huh. It's Academy Ruins for enchantments.
So what are we actually missing for the cycle? This is the white version, we have the blue version, which is Ruins.
Wallred Stronghold, which is black.
What's the green? Is there a green?
There isn't. And there is no red, I think.
Okay, so we have like...
Actually, there is, kinda.
Are you referring to that Hellbent one?
No. Problem is, what Stronghold was part of the cycle, right? The cycle was Terra Sanctum, Academy, Tolarian Academy. The killed on something land that taps to deal damage, one damage to any target. Black was Stronghold, the blue, white, and green was, I think, Gaze Cradle. That was the cycle. Problem is, they didn't do the same thing, right?
Yeah.
But they were doing, this is Legendary Lands we're giving you. It's a cycle. And it was spaced out through a couple of sets. But it was a cycle. However, more modern, excuse me, the pun players, don't actually see that way because it doesn't have the same effect. Mm-hmm. So they're kinda redoing
that. Yeah, I'm wondering what the rest of the cycle
is. A green one is easy.
Is it? You can't put creatures.
Why couldn't you?
Because you have the black stronghold that does that.
It doesn't put on top of the library. It does. Oh, then I'm wrong. What could green do then? Green could put a permanent on top of the library.
That would be kind of too strong. But it can put like...
But then again, putting artifacts on top of the library is super strong already. I don't know. Maybe green permanents? I don't know. I just can't think of it.
Maybe just putting land on top of your library.
That's already strong. Yeah, that could work. Speaking of artifacts and stuff, what's the next card you want to talk about, Nixon?
Now we have some sort of shenanigans.
Oh, shenanigans are fine. What did they do?
So shenanigans is an actual card name. For one and a red, it's a sorcery, destroy target artifact, dredge one.
It's not pushing dredge over the top, that's good.
But it's like being a very good common artifact removal.
I like it for decks I play because A, I like to play with graveyards and everybody knows it. B, it destroys artifacts repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And the price isn't actually that high. And as I said, it's not gonna send dredge into frenzy because it's the second worst dredge number.
I mean, it's actually not even meant for dredge. It's just meant for decks that want to be playing recursive artifact removal that's not Ancient Grudge.
Niksha, imagine if it said Dredge 3. Would Dredge be playing it?
I don't think so.
Depending on what are the artifacts on the in the format, right?
Yeah, because...
If you're playing something like Vintage or Legacy, yes, you have it at least in your sideboard.
This looks like a sideboard card to me right now.
Yeah, but you don't need to play it in Dredge because you didn't care about Dredge 1.
Yeah, you play it in a deck when you're like facing off... artifact decks, and you're like, okay, I got this.
Like I said, this is the second worst dredge number, worst being dredge zero.
And what dredge is?
Nothing. But it's the worst version of dredge, just no, you do get nothing. But just overall, I like this for commander, I like this for a bunch of formats. This is not gonna stop a combo piece, so actually pack your instant speed artifact removal. But if you actually need to be dealing with things, you know, turn by turn, this is super good. Plus, you can just, you know, turn two, kill your artifact, and if you have enough things in your hand, okay, dredge one, kill another Mana Rock, kill another Mana Rock.
and keep.
Yeah. Also, speaking of artifacts, we have Rebuild. For 2 and a blue, it's an instant, return all artifacts to their owner's hands and cycle 2.
So it's a cross between Retrace and Hercules. That has cycling, so when it's not useful, it replaces itself.
It still is. But I like this because sometimes you just need to put stop on stupid artifacts, shenanigans. And if you can shenanigans them, you know, all the way, just rebuild them.
Or, you know, use it on yourself.
Use it on everybody, but you're gonna, I'm betting Andre is gonna be playing this in his stupid Joyra deck. He plays Joyra X. Guess what? He's gonna be doing this to himself. Tectonic Reformation is a card, which I'm not sure how I feel about. What does it do, Nixon?
It's a 1 in red enchantment that says each land in your card has cycling for red. And it itself has cycling for
The art looks like the first pygmy from Dark Souls, if you remember the scene. And the effect itself, I mean, you're never gonna be land flooded in the end game, I guess. In the late game.
You might. You just might be.
I mean, you just cycle.
You mean with this in the field, yeah, you're never gonna get stuck on.
Yeah. It enables retrace. That's a thing to think about. And it helps with your cycling and things like the writer we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It fuels him. It actually does a lot of nifty things, just I'm not sure if I will be playing it anywhere in my current decks.
It also prevents you from flooding out in mono red, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I guess, sure.
I mean any red, protects you from flooding, but...
Luckily...
You know, it's an enchantment that doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, you can play this in the stupid frog.
Yep. Imagine unless you're playing... But, oh yeah, it actually... This is one of those cards that was missing from Jund Precon deck.
Lord Windgrace.
It's like, they made the Lord Windgrace deck.
But accidentally put some cards.
Yeah, but instead of putting the cards in the deck, they put it in this set.
I mean, it's an honest mistake. Everybody can make mistakes.
Yeah.
Mark was in a hurry and he made a Llanowar Tribe, but then accidentally put some of the files into the Windgrace deck. I mean, come on, Mark. I know you like your cocktails at 5 o'clock on Friday, but come on.
Speaking of mistakes...
Niksha, take this one. This one is all yours.
So we have Echo of Eon for 4 and double blue. It's a sorcery. Each player shuffles their hand and graveyard into their library, then draws 7 cards.
Oh, good. Another, time twister effect. Good. It's just 6 mana, so it's not gonna break anything.
Except it has flashback for actual time twister.
No,
for
fuck 2 off. And a blue. No, fuck off. No, we're not doing this, no.
Oh, we're doing this. We're doing this all day, God. Boy.
So you think this is gonna actually break things?
I don't think it'll break anything, but, you know, just... It. Let's say it's dangerous. It's just the right kind of dangerous.
It's tempting, isn't it?
It's very tempting. Oh boy, is it.
You know what it's actually gonna destroy? Games of my commander when I have sick graveyard in play.
Oh, it also completely destroys Atrak. Because Atrak discards this, because at some point you'll discard it.
Womp womp.
And like, okay, 3 mana, I beat.
Yay!
Also, let's not forget that Narset is a card.
Narset is a card, actually, that's played in this format and many others.
That Narset that's actually played in a lot of formats, except, you know, it's standard, not so much. Because in standard, you don't have 3 mana time twist.
I mean, smart you don't.
See, I'm just putting out there, you know, I play that Commit to Memory in Tron, and most of the time I just pay 6 mana for memory, and here I can pay 6 mana for memory, and then 3 mana for memory, also if discarded.
Mm-hmm. You can discard it with something like Fate of Looting or one of the other effects.
Yeah, well, for Phoenix deck, this is a kind of a worthless card.
Oh no, I'm not saying just for Phoenix, it's just generally... You have effects that made you discard.
There's a lot of ways to discard cards. There aren't really any blue-red decks in modern that discard, like, because, you know, graveyard is kind of having,
There are
you
no decks now, Nixia.
Decks now, yeah. Having a Snapcaster make side, you know, a bunch of other things that just want to be in the graveyard. So yeah, we'll see about this card. It's just delicious.
What's next on the docket? Oh, the disappointing dude. Like, he makes me sad. Hogak... Yes, Arisen Necropolis. 5 and a black-green hybrid. It's a 8/8 legendary creature avatar. It has trample. Oh my god. You may cast it from the Hogak Arisen from your graveyard. That's also cool, isn't it? It has both Convoke and Delve. sheesh, this is a card, you can't spend mana to cast this spell. Sure, sure, fine, fine. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to be feeling about this guy.
Well, for commander, it's pretty obvious how you feel about this. Yeah.
You know what's good thing about this card? You can discard it, and then exile so you can get 8 counters on your Marmioplasm.
Mm-hmm.
There. Yay! But you need to pay a bunch of tokens and self-mill cards, right? To get this guy going. And then when you do, you get just an 8-8 Trampler.
Well, let's just put it this way. You can easily play this in Dredge because you're fast enough to fuel your graveyard and you have like 2 blood gas and it's an 8-8 Trampler and that hurts. Like, that hurts a lot. And it dodges a bunch of removal like bolts like that, which are in kind of lower cost.
Would
and
you pay?
If you slam him turn 2, I mean, you can legitimately just turn 2. And a turn 2 8-8 Trampler is really scary.
Would you play this over the Angler?
Well, since Dredge isn't that...
No, I mean, in decks that play Angler. Since you were like, you can play him.
In Angler-based decks, no.
Because this is the direct comparison you actually have to make. Because they're both 7 mana cards, and they both are usually delved.
Except this one has to be convoked.
There you go. Or delved. Most delved, then you have to convoke it, yeah, sorry.
This can be cast from...
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you accidentally dredge your Angler, that's it. The Angler's now fodder for Delve, while Hogak, he's always...
I mean, I'm hoping I'll be wrong and that people actually play this guy, because the art is sick. Like, literally, he looks like he's sick, so...
Speaking of, let's move
which
on
one?
To the...
Mariner?
And, oh my god, yeah.
Unsettled Manor for white and a blue. It's a 2-2 creature shapeshifter with changeling. Is this the first changeling we had today?
The first one we're talking about, at least.
Today, yeah. Whenever you or a permanent you control becomes target of a spell on an ability an opponent controls, counter that spell on ability unless its controller pays 1.
This is a really good human.
Mm-hmm, and a spirit.
And a merfolk.
Yeah. It's good
and
many,
a
I think.
Sliver.
Yep. I wish he was not blue, but something else so I could actually play him in Alesha.
You know, that's kind of like a balance point for him.
I know. And yet.
And yet, all relevant tribe decks can still play it.
Yep.
Calling Sliver.
Plus, you know, a Vile is a thing. So.
A Vile is a...
Yeah.
Oh, also blue-white death and taxes.
Yep.
Because that dex is actually a thing. I mean, it's not as good as the other death and taxes, but it's a thing.
But still, you go under the radar a bit with that deck, so...
So yeah, having this guy out with a Thalia, that's like... Why even bother with your stuff? Just why? It protects you from Ballista.
Yep, it's much more difficult to kill things with Ballista when you have to pay like 6 mana to kill all the stuff you want.
Yeah.
Actually, to pay 2 mana to kill this guy and then... But still paying 2 mana just to kill this guy extra is constraining.
It is. It's really painful.
This is a really solid card.
And if you have 2 of them out, then...
You can Coco into them.
You can Coco into them, you can...
Vial them in.
Find them, Convoke, right?
You can still make a copy of them. Yeah, you can still make a copy of them with the clone for 2 mana.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the clone will still die.
Of course, but you know...
extra protection.
Yeah.
And what else? What else you can... You can just hard cast it, but that hard to...
This is a card.
This is definite. So, it's also a fairy and a ninja.
Yep. It's whatever the hell you want it to be. It's a mutant ninja turtle.
So, why did I mention fairy? Because we have a cute little fairy.
No, we actually have Dr. Manhattan.
Okay. So, Dr. Manhattan is for 1 blue, a 1/1 flying fairy wizard. And when it enters the battlefield, scry 2.
I know a certain elvish dick that's gonna be liking this guy. Freaking Edric. It has all the things Edric wants. 1 mana and it's casting cost. 1/1, you know, power and toughness. And flies. Whatever the rest of the text is, who cares?
It's cries too, and that's almost like drawing a...
Make sure if it just didn't say anything besides flying, Edric would be like, yeah, cool, put him in, fine, it's
plus
okay.
Plus 1.
Why the hell not?
And this way, it's like, okay... Another turn 1, are actually really good turn 1, to be followed up with Spellstutter Sprite.
Oh yes. Plus when you pet exile this guy, he goes to Mars.
Yep.
To brood a bit.
Oh my god, my wife doesn't... Oh my god, everyone's dead because I'm a...
Why do my actions have consequences? Basically, that's what he was brooding about. You want to talk about that automaton? Perfect slot in for any tribal deck?
No.
Geomancer's Gambit is the card you want to talk about, right?
Just because it says draw card. So it's a 2 and a red, a stone rain that replaces the land you destroyed with a basic one.
Mm-hmm.
And it draws a card. So it draws a card, so that's something.
But what if there is a Cat Jesus?
Then it destroys the land, it doesn't give your opponent a replacement, and it draws you a card.
Yay, 2 mana, just draw a card. And screw somebody's day. I like that.
Mm-hmm. But there is something you want to talk about.
Reap the Past is just cute, so that's not a thing I actually need to talk about. But Mirrodin Besiege, though, for 2 and a blue. It's an enchantment. As it enters the battlefield, choose Mirran or Phyrexian. First of all, I love those choose enchantments. Mirran, whenever you cast an artifact spell, create a 1-1 colorless Mirror artifact creature token. Phyrexian, at the beginning of your end step, draw a card and discard a card. Then, if there are 15 or more artifacts in your graveyard, target opponent loses the game. This is a home run on so many fronts. First of all, it's cheap to cast. The Mirran one gives you all the dudes you want, but it also shows how desperate Mirrans are to actually ward off the invasion. They need all the bodies they can. Phyrexian 1 gives you a long-term plan, draws your cards, filters your cards, and gives you an actual win condition. Win condition, but not. You kill one guy.
When there's only one... I mean, you do that at the end of every each of your turns.
I know. You can also copy with... it's not Resonator, it's... What's the artifact that does it? Or it is Resonator.
It is Resonator.
Oh, yeah!
There I'll you
just,
go.
I'll just pay some extra mana to kill you two guys. Nice. I love this card.
Yeah, I mean, both modes have their values. Well, the second mode has additional value.
Yeah, second mode is you're playing for the long term. First mode is I actually need bodies now and I'm gonna kill you in a couple. What's next card you wanted to talk about?
So we have Watcher for Tomorrow, a 1 and a blue, 2/1 human wizard. It's a human, but fortunately.
Yeah, it's. Meh.
So it's a creature with hideaway. We only had hideaway on lands, and now we have on the creature. And when Watcher for Tomorrow leaves the battlefield, put the exiled card into its owner's library, into its owner's hand. So Watcher for Tomorrow enters the battlefield tapped and puts you a card that you draw when it leaves.
That's cool. That's a super cool design. You can play it in something like Brago.
Brago for some additional card advantage.
Mm-hmm. Rune also.
And when you ninjutsu it, you get a card.
Yeah, that's cool. I think that's most the reason why he's here, because, you know, to support the archetype in draft.
Plus he's a human wizard. You know what that means?
What?
You get 2 cards with Naban out.
Or with Inala when you make copies of...
And guess what? It goes through Narset.
Mm-hmm. Because you're not drawing cards.
I'm not touching you.
This is a cool card and the art is really cool. Cool card also is the Mindrake. For 2 in a red... for 2 in a black, sorry. Sorcery. Target player discards 2 cards. Now you're asking me why is a stupid Mind Rot a cool card? It has Overload of 1 and a black. You may cast the spell for its overall cost. If you do, change its text by replacing all instances of target with each. So each player discards 2 cards. And that's super cool, and I'm most likely going to be playing it.
Are you playing the games?
I can't seem to find it actually back home. So that's the problem.
Oh, so you would actually be playing the games?
Of course. Serve Insanity is a strong play, and this is just, you know, another version of it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't do the thing that Serving Sand does so strong, but still.
But yeah, also, redundancy is good.
Yeah. What I like about Mandrake, you know who's that on the art? Actually, what's the referencing? It's referencing Greel. Do you remember Greel? The Mindraker? It was from, I think, Prophecy. The worst set ever. 3 black-black. Legendary creature horror spell shaper. X and a black tap. Discard 2 cards. Tag a player Mind Twist. And you see him on the art. He's the one in the red. So it's another reference. And you get it. You pay 2 and discard 2 so everybody else discards 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reference to a card that nobody remembers, nobody cares about, but it's still a reference they made. And I'm happy for that. Also, spells of madness often require a sacrifice of sanity. Get it? You can madness with this. And since you're discarding cards from your mind, it's actually sacrificing sanity. This is a home run in my mind. What's next you want to talk about?
The sad tale of Ursa's
Rage. Why is it sad?
So how did Ursa's Rage start? When it first appeared, it was like Chase Rare, right?
Mm-hmm. That, the return target permanent back to his own hand, that guy discards a card and absorb. Those were the Chase Rares.
And then Ursa's Rage became the poster boy for the Phyrexia versus the Coalition.
Yes, the first dual deck ever.
The first dual deck, which featured a mythic rare foiled Ursa's Rage.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a...
Womp womp. I mean, of course it is, because it's not that flashy of an effect anymore. And I still like Ursa's Rage, though, even though on this art he looks mildly, you know, annoyed.
I mean, a mildly annoyed Ursa is still a very powerful...
Original art is much better because it features a fucking mech spitting fire on Urza's enemies. Yes, when Ursa gets angry, he goes into the Hulkbuster and kills people.
I mean, mechs make everything better.
Yes, they actually do. Why don't we have more mechs in Magic?
Because they were... I would really love some.
Yeah, you're like... It's because... That would actually be...
It would, but, you know, it was back in the day when they actually... When mechs were actually...
And they're not now, right?
Not that much.
And everybody looks at the mech and they're like, ugh, this is a huge robot making cool battles and stuff.
Well, it's the Transformers problem. They kind of ruined it.
I'm talking about mechs, not stupid Transformers.
I mean, general public doesn't really...
I know. Okay. I understand, I'm just angry because mechs are cool.
I know.
I mean, look at Armored Core or Ford Mission or anything like that. That's super cool.
I'm just waiting for Mech Warrior 5.
Yeah, those are also cool. Mech games are cool. Damn, I want to play some mech games. What's next we talk about, actually? Well, Blossoms is in Modern now.
Yeah, and I actually don't know what to feel about this.
Your pee-pee is confused.
Yeah, on one hand, it's like, cool, my Voltron deck has a wall that replaces itself. But then again, my Voltron deck has another 12 walls, and that's kind of pushing it. Kind of pushing it hard.
But you're like, do I push it even harder?
But Arcades gets more support for Modern. There you go.
Good. Everybody was super hyped for that super strong Arcades deck.
Well, to be honest, I've been brewing an Arcades for Modern.
Of course you have.
It includes the Aether Vial.
Sure, sure. By this point, I'm just like, yeah, sure, sure it does.
But other than that, Seb proves that he obviously has some sight in Underdark or something with all these artworks with Soul Herder.
What does the card do? It's a cute card.
One white and for creature spirit 1/1. Whenever a creature is exiled from the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on Soul Herder. At the beginning of your end step, you may exile another target creature control, then return that card to battlefield under it.
So you play the tension guy, right?
Yeah, but...
You exile a bunch of dudes.
But there's an even cuter play. It's called Flicker Wisp.
Oh god.
And when you flicker it at the end of your turn, it's a lot better because, you know, you exile something and controls and they don't get it. They get it at the end of their...
Another cute thing you can do is the whole Leyland of the Void Wasteland Strangler, yeah.
Yeah, that too. I mean, not with
Soul Herder. Yeah. By the way, thing is Soul Herder, what the hell is happening with that art?
It's a giant spooky skeleton that's picking people, and it's a 1/1, by the way.
Look, I did get drunk a couple of times. What the hell, Seb? Are the Elder Gods actually talking to you?
They probably giving you are.
Whispers of Madness?
But yeah,
are these beautiful? Just like
we have more spoders
for more spoder tribal. What was the name of the Isgraf or whatever the
Ishkana.
Was? Ishkana, yeah. So Rotwidow pack 2 and a black and a green. It's a 2/4 creature spider. It has reach because it's a spider. And a 3 black and a green exile creature card from your graveyard. Create a 1/2 green spider creature token with reach. Then each opponent loses one life for each spider you control.
Oh yeah, it's an additional effect is a good effect.
Mm-hmm. And it's a cab walker.
That make more spiders.
And you play the spider spawning in that deck because of course you do. And then you just kill people with
any spiders.
all the spotters.
Now we have a couple of ninjas. So one, and at least one of them is actually kind of good.
And it's a human.
Wow. So Moonblade Shinobi is a 3 and a blue for a 3-2 human ninja with ninjutsu for 2 and a blue. Whenever it deals combat damage to the player, create a 1-1 blue illusion creature token with flying. And the reason it's kind of good is that it makes a evasive thing to be ninjutsu'd.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or at least, you know, it's a blocker.
Or a blocker, yeah.
But mostly you care for, you know, it enabling ninjutsu.
And make, or just, you know, a flying.
Yeah, sometimes you just put a jitte on that guy and go town.
The other three ninja, not there.
You know what?
You
know
so
what?
Good.
You know why they're bad? Because one is a spirit, one is a vampire, and the other is an illusion. Proper ninjas are humans.
So.
Yeah. A cute card is Alpine Guide for 2 in red. It's a human scout, snow creature. It's a 3-3. When it enters the battlefield, you may search library for a mountain card, not the basic mountain. Put the card onto the battlefield, tapped. Then shuffle your library. He attacks each combat fable, and when he leaves the battlefield, sacrifices a mountain. I know a certain goat that likes this guy.
Yeah.
Zidru decks are going to be playing this.
And just flickering.
And of course, the best Zidru decks are going to be also giving people blood wounds. Just like, here, have mountains. Sacrifice something.
Of course.
This, especially because it leaves the battlefield, not, you know, when it dies or something. This is the magic I like to see. People being salty and pissed off for no good reason. So what's the next thing we talk about? Because there's not many good of them left.
There's a bunch of... So this is the final dump of cards. There's an artifact for 3 that makes a 2-2 colorless shapeshifter with changeling for 4 and a tap.
You mean it makes scarecrows?
It makes scarecrows, so that's nice.
And you described this bunch of cards good. It's a dump. There's a worm, Nixia. That's the thing.
So anyways, there's also,
there's like one or two cards we said that they were fine.
Well, yeah, I said that, Winding Way was, well, kind of decent. Like, for a deck that would run, the 3 mana, the one that gets you creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Something
like that. I cannot remember, but, hey, let's carry on.
For 1 and a green, it's a sorcery, you choose, creature or land. Then you reveal the top 4 cards of your library and put all cards of the chosen type into your hand and the rest into your graveyard.
That's cool.
It's actually quite nice because...
Doesn't Mulch have similar effect but only for lands?
Mulch does do the same things, but, yeah. You know, having an option to go for the fuel.
It's really good. Yeah. The worm is whatever. Who cares? I mean, worm can end games unlimited, but that's about it. Red has not... Wartide Witch is cool. For 2 and a black, it's a goblin shaman. 3-2. And whenever it or another creature you control dies, scry 1. That's pretty decent.
I mean, if you're not playing green, so, you know, you're the better Eldrazi.
Or, you know, Viserys here.
Still, it's okay. Oh, we got a black card with Convoke. And for some kind of token-based strategy. So it's a mob for 4 and a black, instant convoke, destroy target creature. So, you know, a possibility of having a free destroy target creature card.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting option.
Plus the artist brew. There's a werewolf fighting villagers and they just have rakes and everything. We're gonna punch you now. Gluttonous Slug is fun, not because of anything the card does, but the flavor text is... No amount of salt will save you, but they haven't met Nixia.
Uh-huh.
Or Mate when we play Spears.
You know
actually,
what?
Mate is worse.
You know
Mate
what?
Is worse.
You know what? Hmm? Would this card... How busted would this card be at 1 mana?
Hmm.
Just a black mana. For Menace and Evolve, let's say it's 0-2.
Hmm.
That would actually be kind of scary.
I'm gonna go with they actually made some testing and everything.
I'm pretty sure they tried it at 1 mana and said, okay, this is too much.
This gets out of hand.
What kind of difference? Wow.
Mm-hmm. You wanna talk about the ninja that has the worst creature type ever?
So, Azra Smoke Shaper is a 3 and a black for a 3-3 Azra with ninjutsu for 1 and a black. And when it enters the battlefield, target creature you control gains indestructible.
Now, my small rant, all Azras need to be warriors so I can actually draw cards off as the odds maker. Not the odds maker, the mind render, yeah, off of that. But my little rant aside, this is a cool card. Nixia, you had some things on your mind about this.
Yeah, it's a cool
it's a really cool way to make a ninja a combat trick. Like, you attack with all your creatures, and your opponent blocks a really good creature and lets a really bad creature pass. You just ninjutsu that thing, you put in an Azra Smoke Shaper, and you give that good creature indestructible. And this is a limited bomb, back. This is a limited bomb. Because you get, for 2 mana, you get a 3-3 that's not blocked, and you give something indestructible.
And that's cool.
That's very...
pretty nice. Moving to blue?
Yeah. Actually, one card I want to mention before we go on. Smoke Shroud. For 1 and a blue enchantment aura, enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has flying. When a ninja enters the battlefield under your control, you may return Smoke Shroud from your graveyard to the battlefield attached to that creature.
Next, this card is crap. It doesn't give it the creature shroud. What the hell? I feel lied to.
Wow. Actually. But yeah, aside for not giving shroud, it's actually a very legit card, because auras are usually bad, because if they don't replace themselves, they're card disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it keeps getting back.
Yep.
And it gives important creature type evasion to do what it does best. Mm-hmm. And it's hitting.
And that's freaking cool.
It can be discarded to Force of Negation.
Mm-hmm.
And then used after that. So yeah, pretty cool card.
Speaking of, don't you have an enchantment that goes really well with this? Not with this, but with the whole archetype.
There is. So which one is it?
The Cunning Evasion? Did we talk about that? So, one in the blue. Enchantment. Whenever a creature you control becomes blocked, you may return it to its owner's hand. Isn't this nifty?
Isn't it so nice that you let those unblockable creatures go? Because, you know, you can't block them. And you blocked my ninjas. Oh, it would be a shame if I ninjutsu them in again. Now, wouldn't it?
This works so stupidly good for ninjutsu. Ninjutsu seems like actually the most supported archetype in the whole format.
Yeah, because ninjutsu is such a... I already talked about how good it is, how
because,
it makes
because it's good.
Combat more dynamic, how it makes attacking and blocking more important than ever. And, I mean, I'm playing that artifact that bounces a creature unless its controller pays one to its owner's hand. I'm playing that in ninjas because I want to have a way to recycle them when they can't pass.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a free recycle for when they... Also being a difference between 2 and 4 mana to actually use. So yeah, it's a cool card. I'm liking it.
Like, I love it. I see this gonna giving me problems in the near future.
We got a Strix, but not a good one. So let's not talk about it.
We go to white, right? There's basic thing there.
I mean, there's another enchantment that's a removal with a reprobation.
Oh, that's cool.
So for 1 and a white, it's a enchant creature aura. Enchanted creature loses all abilities and is a coward creature with base power 1001. So yeah, it's
humility.
It's a way to deal with the commander without them having to recast it.
Actually, it's not humility. What's the name of that?
From Urza's.
Yes.
Thinking about that one that gives them 1/1 indestructible mana.
No. Because there is one that actually makes them 0/1. It's either Urza's or Mirage block. It makes them 0/1 with no ability.
But it doesn't make them cowards.
It doesn't.
Because
cowards
that's
weren't
important
the
thing because, you know, cowards can't block wars.
They cannot.
When are they going to make that like a permanent rule of
it is when you have that card out.
But it's like a general rule, like how they had walls and had a general rule for walls. Then they're going to make cowards and have a general rule for cowards.
You just remember the story when I first saw the card, I was like, cowards can block warriors. I was like, yeah, but I mean, that's a given, but why is it on a card? Oh, okay. Is that about it with
them? That's it. That's all of the spoilers.
Mm-hmm. The set is finished. We have no more free topics to talk about.
So that means that next time we can talk
actual
something.
Topics. We have to think of things. Oh no.
I mean, we can do actual deck text with the new cards.
Mm-hmm.
We can make modern deck because since the deck is twice as small as since it's half the size of a normal commander deck, we can do double deck text, like one modern and one commander.
How well do you math?
How well do I what now?
You math, because you know it's not actually half.
I know, but you know, since you have 4 copies of cards, it makes it even less because there are less cards to talk about.
That's a point, that's a point. But yeah, anything else to mention?
Urza is a good card, but I think that everybody caught on to that by now.
That guy, that loser?
And it having a $50 price tag.
I reckon it's gonna crash a bit.
He has to.
Yep. So, this has been episode 93 of the Elder Dragon Doodle podcast.
90 what?
93.
Are you sure it's 93 and not something higher?
No. Actually, we'll have our page open on the MTG cast. And it's, 90, 91, 92, and now we're making 93.
Okay. Cool.
I think I know number.
Cool, cool.
But yeah, we have done the whole spoiler finally. The set looks wonderful. And it's really ninja-tastic.
And I'm hoping this will be opened a lot, because I hope it doesn't suffer the same fate as, the rest of the draft-only sets. Being released just before a major set. In this case, a Core 20. So
I think people will jump on this one, because look at all the cards, actually. They're super powerful.
Yeah, but then again, the draft is a bit expensive. Because for some reason, I have no idea what, boosters are as expensive as Modern Masters.
Yes, they're premium products.
But they're not premium. It's print to demand.
Yes, but it's premiumly print to demand.
There aren't any...
Well, you see. Fuck you, give me money. Quote, Wizards of the Coast 2019. Actually, Wizards of the Coast 1993 to 2019.
But to be fair, they're not the ones setting the price.
Yep.
Because they said, we're gonna do no MSRP. And who would have thought that they're going to put whatever price they want? For a set that should be like a normal set. I mean, all the conspiracies were normal set prices. Battlebond was normal set price. Even Unstable was normal set prices.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was normal set prices. Why isn't this? It doesn't have a foil in every pack. It doesn't come in eco-friendly packaging. So what's the deal?
Everything is eco-friendly if you wait long enough.
Like, seriously, what's the deal? There's so much... I would love to draft this, because I could force ninjas all day.
But money.
But, come on. Like, a single booster is as expensive as a complete normal draft.
Yeah, I actually...
So that's very disappointing. But, if they make a second print wave of this, maybe the prices will, crash. Because there's suddenly, a whole metric ton of this.
But yeah, anything else you need to say?
No, that's about it. Set looks sweet. Gonna get me to see what can be made with.
And yeah, this was 93, and that's about it.
And as always,
the Emperor protects.
That's right.
My brothers has been swallowed by the ground. Unbelievable insatiable thirst, the lines break. Tide swirls and rushes forth, my arms shake. I am swallowed by the storm surge. But I will turn from this, we will emerge from this. Ignore the gripping dread that slithers up our spines from this. Yet I'm the final dirge. Hear me! My command is standard, so we'll stand and face a chaos scourge. I count the days as to come, turn to a monks now. Still with perseverance we raise the body count. Besides the pangs of pain, know that I know your face. You know mine when every death is repaid. Burning bastions sanctioned by your chaplains. Line up every sight while I align the battlements. 10,000 lights burn out in a blink. We the stalwarts have prepared to hold before this brink of the precipice. While I join with disaster. Like a funeral song. One reason not to hold on. Show me the war, master! And those I thought were my brothers have turned their backs on the fold. The Edmunds I time now hold. We hid ourselves in the dark. Foundation shook. Step out of the sunlight to re-emerge. Luna wolves. Now we wait on our haunches. Coiled. Soon I will find my vengeance gets a despoiled. I can't forget the sight of them becoming poison. Suffering immaterial death. Fate unavoidable. Knife meets back. Those brothers meets bloodshed. Return to give the devil tapping to the serpent's head. Backstabber turncoat. Chain of command failures. Miniature lower swords as it turns to your defenses. Tide turns again and not in our favor. My forces face this, but not once do they waver. And as the palace is breached, I'll take what I can reach. Aim for Abaddon's throat. Your life is beyond reproach. By the despicable's hands, Our hope is scattered like sand, and every outcome unwanted sits above the unhaunted. Should have kept deeper still, buried my grave to fill. Soon I will have all your heads. You should have checked I was dead. And I can still see their faces, their trusting look led astray. Only blood can amend this.